I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Rachel McCrary. Rachel is the CEO and founder of Dual Tone, the first body-positive shapewear company. Rachel is a lingerie expert, fashion designer, business advisor, and lifelong entrepreneur. Throughout her career, she has worked overseeing product development for major brands. Jewel Toned, Rachel's most recent endeavor, is dedicated to changing the psychology around shapewear. She's heavily involved in the startup community, having won 7 pitch competitions. She was the first single female founder to raise $1 million in 2015. Rachel, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Hi, David. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
We were chatting a little bit before we started recording about all the endeavors that you've been involved in, and you have accomplished a huge amount in a relatively short amount of time. And with all of your accomplishments and your successes, I know from our discussion that success is not linear. There are lots of ups and downs. And I wondered if we could start off by talking about what a business plateau means to you.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure, all of us have experienced these types of moments where you want something really, really bad, and then you get it and you're happy for a while. And then you're like, okay, now what? For years, I just wanted to run a large fashion division in New York. I remember even wanting that when I was, 14, 15, and then about 15 years later, whenever I got that, I was happy for a couple of years, but the parts of my job that I loved, I wanted to create more of that. And there were some things that maybe, didn't suit me so much. So I wanted to see how I could move towards making my job, the things that I loved, which was, new business development and branding and building new brands and connecting with the consumer. So I, was at my corporate job in New York. I was the vice president at Medium for a while, and I loved it. It was a great experience and I'm completely grateful for. But, I just wanted more. And I always thought, like, well, what if? And I noticed for a few years that in the shapewear space, that when I was talking to buyers and consumers and even the models and, things like that, women just weren't really happy with their shapewear. They would apologize for it. They would say, I had to get it for a prom or for a wedding, or I had gained weight after I had a baby, and if they didn't wear it, they almost like wore that like a badge of honor. They were like, I don't need shapewear. Like that's something to be proud of, when really fashion just often requires a foundation. So I thought, well, why do they think that? And how did we get here? Because, women used to view corsets as an aspirational purchase. I remember looking at the old movies and, like Scarlett O'Hara type of things as a little girl. And I just thought it was like so beautiful, that imagery of them getting ready. And it was so glamorous. And now it's just this, thing that looks like a Band-Aid that we apologize for wearing. If you go ask Oscar de la Renta or any, classically trained fashion designer, they'll tell you that most, ball gowns require a foundation. And just like that is so, a lot of today's fashion, even in our jeans and wrap dresses and sweater dresses and things of that nature, a lot of times it requires the proper foundation. So I wanted to create a company that, that did just that, so that we could re-educate women about, what foundation garments are. And I felt like I would be better served and also serve others better if I started that as my own company rather than a division at a big company.
So what I'm hearing is one of the things that you went through when you were at various plateaus is to reflect on how you could serve yourself better and serve others better at the same time.
Yes. It's just my personal belief that when we're going in the right direction, that, we're happier, and that spills over to those in our life. And if we're in business, then also our consumers.
Talk to me a little bit about the feeling of what it's like to be in the place where you're at that plateau and you feel the need to be self-reflective. How comfortable a feeling is it?
It's not that comfortable. And I've noticed that oftentimes when we experience emotions and sentiments in our body that are uncomfortable, it's, the universe telling us that perhaps there might be a better direction. Like this place has worked for a while until it doesn't. So when we feel uncomfortable, sometimes it starts as just a slightly, you know, nagging feeling in our stomach or a, you know, sort of sentiment of being displeased, but it'll sort of grow. And if you don't listen and pay attention to it, it gets louder and louder and screams and eventually will hit you over the head with a 2x4. I did Martha Beck's life coaching training, and she explains it by using your body as a compass, and that when we're feeling things in our physical body that are uncomfortable, to learn to listen to that more. It can be when you're in a meeting or when you're talking to someone or when you're just, you know, working on your own. But if you continue to feel, you know, an uncomfortable feeling in your body compass, then it's something to pay attention to. People experience it differently. Some people it's in their throat, like they feel like they're choking. My stomach hurts and I feel kind of nauseous, which is different than butterflies in your stomach, which is an indication that I'm going in the right direction. Some people's hands get hot or their head gets hot, but I recommend learning about her classes on, you know, how to learn to use your body as a compass. I also teach that to private clients. But yeah, I was experiencing that of, you know, okay, so on paper, this all looks good, right? I have a great job and I'm getting to, you know, design things that I love, but something's like not quite right, which doesn't mean that, you know, something is necessarily wrong, but it just means that maybe there's something better.
Right. And it's interesting how, what you just mentioned, that I have a great job or I have a great business, that these are signs that other people use to judge how successful you are, as opposed to a sign that you might use yourself.
Right, but success has to be defined by us.
Exactly. So are there particular techniques that you have found really helpful when you're at a plateau to help you understand what's causing it and how to get out of it?
I think at first I'm always like, oh gosh, here we go. This means I have to go through a transition. I don't like transitions because they're, you know, they're uncomfortable and they're gray and wishy-washy. Some people do like them, but I like, you know, clear. I like yes or no. I don't like maybe. So whenever I sort of get that feeling, I'm kind of like, oh gosh, here we go. You know, whether it's in a personal relationship or where I'm living or at work, you know, so at first I'm kind of like ignore it a little bit to see if it still keeps coming back, because we don't want to make like rash big life decisions. And I pay attention and make sure that there's not a lot of other things going on in my life, because if we're stressed out or upset about something else, it might not be a good time to make big decisions. So if other things are going on, like if you're going through a divorce or something and you're like, oh, I think I want to change my job, maybe wait until you're on the other side of the other transition before you start, you know, the work transition. So I pay attention to that. And then I see if the nagging becomes something a little bit louder. And if so, then I guess I start to meditate and write down like things that come to mind. And if I get, I usually get a lot of ideas, and I'll get them anytime, sometimes even 3 a.m. So I'll start researching the ideas to see if other people are doing the ideas, to see if it's a viable option. I start asking other people like, hey, what do you think about this? And sometimes if you sort of oversaturate your life with like talking about something for a while, which would be 2 weeks to a few months, you sort of get tired of it. And then you're like, I don't really want to do that. Like, that's kind of like it's fun to talk about it, but it's not really going to be what my life is going to become. But if you keep talking about it and it gets you excited instead of sick of talking about it, then that's probably something that you should listen to and might be an indication that that's your life's purpose. Like 6 months to a year later, if you still can't stop talking about it and you research everything and have like folders on your computer with everything that you can find about it, then that might mean that that's something that could feed your soul. And then obviously I call it like the energetic side and the real world side. So the energetic side would be like, oh, I'm really passionate about X. But then the real world things need to add up, right? Like, do I have experience in this? Can I learn to have experience in this? Do I have the ability to execute this? Because an idea in and of itself isn't really worth anything, but the ability to execute it is. So we need to either have within our own self or those around us the power to also execute the idea.
Yeah, that's so true. So what's an example of one of these transitions that you've gone through where you've used these exercises to help you clarify the direction and to take action?
I mean, when I wanted to do the junior shapewear company, I asked people about it. I did research. I did some focus groups. I made some trend boards before it was even a thing of like, what would that look like if I made that? I asked people about it. I studied similar companies like Spanx and American Apparel and saw, you know, what they were really great at and what I might do differently, you know, because I have a different target market. And then, you know, made some prototypes and asked people about it to see if it was like, you know, just something I thought up that was crazy or something that had some legs. I was a fashion designer since I was 15. I even had a business in high school. But about, you know, 18 years into that, I started feeling like I was obsessed with this yoga teacher and these classes that I was taking. So I thought it was crazy, but I really just sort of felt like I wanted to have a deeper experience in yoga and that I wanted to live on an ashram. So I started researching everything there was about that and how one does that. And I made a folder and bought a bunch of books and, you know, realized that there might be time later in my life where that might be more difficult, like, you know, if I had a family or something. So I planned to take time off. I had a corporate job at the time and I planned to take time off and I went and lived on an ashram for a couple of months. And it was definitely, you know, the right thing because I think of it, it was in 2009, and I think of it, you know, probably daily to this day. It definitely helped shape who I am. And even though I never wanted to teach like public yoga classes, like asana classes, my, you know, experiences in Hindu philosophy and learning how to sort of work a problem through a spiritual way and in a calm and productive way has helped me as a CEO and also my life coaching practice.
That's great. Well, Rachel, what's been some of the most transformational help for you in your leadership journey?
Like the people that helped me?
Yeah, people or maybe certain interactions, activities, etc.
Yes, I have a meditation practice that I literally would be a crazy person without. I have learned that anyone that says the following phrases, I can't meditate, I hate meditating, those are the people that need to do it the most. I have pretty hardcore ADHD and, you know, it's been really helpful for that. And I have a brain that almost just spins and is so overactive. So learning to find a more neutral place every now and then has been helpful to me. Martha Beck, the teacher I mentioned earlier, her life coaching training was, both Oprah and Eckhart Tolle say that their lives are, you know, where they're at partially because of her. She's very underrated and completely amazing. And it helped me through transitions. And then back to that, I've thought about this when we were talking about this at our last call, at the plateau part, Martha calls that square one. And she says that the mantra for square one is, I don't know what's going on and that's okay. And to just be okay and be there for that time while you're doing that thing where you're seeing if it still comes up more, do I keep experiencing this, that you're just in square one. And you can look up her cycle for the four squares of transformation. So that was really helpful to me. And Alana Brower is a yoga teacher in New York City. And now she closed her studio, but she teaches a couple of public classes at ABC Carpet and Home in New York. And if you haven't tried that, it is definitely the best crack in town. I took meditation from a Tibetan monk, but I don't know if there's ways for people to find him. He's a little off the grid, but that was helpful. I had a mentor that was a boss at one of my early jobs when I was very young. She just always had fun, even though she had a work hard, play hard philosophy. She was a mentor for me for about a decade. Unfortunately, she passed away from cancer. Her name was Diane Casey. But she taught me a lot about business and how to monetize creativity, which was probably one of the most helpful business lessons that I've learned. So yeah, a lot of people, I guess I'm lucky to be around.
And what do you think it takes, you know, so this describes some of the help that you might have received as a leader. What do you think it takes to scale a company?
To scale a company, oh gosh, to be very malleable and constantly okay with pivoting, whether it's pivoting your entire company's purpose or just a marketing strategy or just the way that your team functions or when you have your meetings, you know, everything is constantly changing and you're constantly receiving data. And just when you think you've got it figured out, you know, you might receive a new piece of data that you want to be able to react quickly to and respond and not be stuck in the way that you think something should go. Sometimes whenever we're open to change a little more, you know, it helps us get to a better place than we can even imagine. So definitely being very flexible.
Mm. So what have been some of the changes that you've gone through as you have led various businesses?
For Jewel Tone, I definitely wanted to have it be mainly an e-commerce company that was direct to consumer, and we still have that arm. It's probably about 40% of our business still, mm-hmm. you know, but when I started the company, I thought it would be 100% of it.
That's a pretty big change.
Yes. Very big change.
How did that come about? How did you shift from 100% to 40%?
Because some buyers were emailing us and asking us if we, you know, could go into some small local boutiques, and people emailed us and said, well, I want to try it on. You know, more the consumer would say, well, I want to try it on, you know. And we started letting them come to our showroom in LA in our office. And we were like, well, you can come if you're in Southern California. And then they would say, oh, but I'm in Omaha. Do you sell anywhere in Omaha? And we're like, no, but we understand the need to want to see and touch and feel. So I learned that while there are glamorous articles all over the internet about e-commerce, a lot of people still enjoy shopping the old-fashioned way and to see and touch, which I appreciate. So we expanded into several department stores.
You know, it's really interesting, particularly in an age when so many retail establishments are struggling because of the e-commerce competition.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so is there either a trend or some tip that you might offer people in the retail space when they're facing these kinds of the challenge of the online stores beating them out?
You mean like major retailers or someone who wants to open a boutique?
Either the major retailers and also smaller stores that are struggling to survive because it's so easy to buy things online.
I mean, you know, Amazon is probably definitely not helping any of that. But as far as having your own store, whether it's a department store or a small store, also have an online function. Like a lot of small boutiques still do a decent business on their small website that they can throw up on Shopify or something like that. They're probably not going to get a ton of outside traffic. It might be a lot of word of mouth or social media, but they can definitely still supplement their business that way. I would definitely always have an online presence. Also, when people are searching for things in a certain area, they just expect you to have an online presence that's not just sort of a business card website, but that it's also shoppable so they can see what types of products you actually have. And then as someone who wants to start their own business like me that's vertical, that has their own brand, I would say definitely be open to doing both because I love my e-commerce business because I can talk to the consumer directly. I know exactly who's buying it. They're not too shy to email me and let me know what they like and don't like, but I think that's great, you know, straight from the horse's mouth. When we do wholesale business, it sort of goes into a black hole. I don't really know who's buying it, you know, but the wholesale business, you know, it's a much smaller margin, but it's larger volume. And you know, people still shop in stores, and that's how they find out about you sometimes, by stumbling across you in a store. So I think it's all necessary and relevant, and I'm sort of in the middle. So I hear all the e-commerce people complaining that everyone's still shopping at department stores, and I hear the department store people saying that everyone's still shopping online. So I really think it's both, you know, and I think it depends on what the product is. And I think, you know, it depends on the age and geo demo of the consumer, and that all of that data needs to be taken into consideration for the respective audience, because I, of course, only know about, you know, women's products that are targeted to women between, you know, 18 and 45 in their shopping patterns. But it might be different, you know, in a different demographic.
Yeah, no, it's really fascinating how you have had your ear on what's going on in the marketplace and been open to shifting how you run your business. Sounds like very quickly as a result of the feedback that you hear.
I hope we do. And whenever they come out with a new social media platform, you know, we have to jump right on that, and maybe it becomes our new priority for a while.
Yeah. Rachel, who do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus, you know, maybe with some of the the techniques that we've been talking about?
I would definitely say go back to, I have a couple, but I would definitely go back to Martha Beck, the life coach, on that one. She, I think she was studying Chinese at Harvard or something like that, and was getting a PhD in Chinese studies. And just, I think, you know, which is obviously a long endeavor. And I think she just realized that that was just definitely not going to serve her soul's purpose. And became, you know, sort of a shaman and a life coach, which I think is definitely an example of listening to your body. Because a lot of people would say, oh, but you put so much time and effort into that. I have a really good girlfriend that's a lawyer in New York who did all of the appropriate things with the fancy degree and then, you know, first year, second year, third year, and then partner and all of that, and only to realize that, you know, it made her have a ton of anxiety and that law was toxic to her and that wasn't the right thing. So, you know, she went back to school and is now studying something else. I think I love people that are flexible and that understand that life is short and that if you're hearing something in your body that might make you happier, that you have to listen to it.
Yeah, that's actually a great piece of advice. So speaking of listening to what you're hearing inside your body and following it, what are you following now for yourself, and what do we have to look forward to from Rachel in the near future?
Yeah, I cannot talk about it specifically, but we are, looks like we're partnering with some celebrities, which will be fun in the future, which is not something that I had anticipated doing at all. But I was just, you know, in some meetings in New York and it just came to be. It looks like activewear is something that our customers really want. You know, we have some fibers that energize and mineralize the skin for a sports bra, and now they want it in other, you know, in their other items. So it looks like we're going to be going into activewear, which is exciting. And again, not something that I thought that we would do. We're always growing and evolving. Who knows what 2017 is going to bring.
Sounds good. And tell us a little bit about the products that you're now offering and how people can learn more about what you do, what you sell, and follow you.
So our number one product is called the Major Mini Dress. It has a major transformation, even though it's little tiny. It comes in size 2 to 18. It has a built-in bra, convertible straps. You can wear it like a slip underneath a traditional cocktail dress. You can wear it under a sweater with a t-shirt tied in a knot, or you can wear it out. So it's so cute that it doesn't look like underwear. It comes in black and bright colors. That's our number one product. And then our second most popular is our bodysuit. You can wear it with jeans and a button-down shirt or with jean shorts in the summer. And we also make bras and undies that have no hardware. So they're exceptionally comfortable and sit very close to the skin so that you don't get a line. And then our bra is popular because it has no underwire, but it's very comfortable and also gives lift and separation. Our website is shopjeweltone.com.
Well, thanks so much, Rachel, for coming on the show today, talking about the transformations that you've gone through, your own leadership journey, lots of tips for our listeners, and some exciting things that you're involved in now in your business.
Thanks so much for having me.
My guest today has been Rachel McCrary, the CEO of Jewel Toned. Thanks again, Rachel, for joining us. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.